Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Rural Voices. Now I'm going to try and not get too depressed by saying this one should have been recorded in Slovenia at this year's rally, Rural Youth Europe's biggest event of the year. Obviously, thanks to Miss Corona, no can do. So instead, this episode is going to be celebrating past rallies, as well as delving into the topic of work as a social right. I've got a couple interviews for you on the topic, as well as loads of rally memories from past participants. We have 10 different voices on this episode from 10 different countries across Europe. Who needs Eurovision? Here is what's coming up.
I think that if I wouldn't attend a rally, if I wouldn't experience this, I probably wouldn't be where I am right now in my career and also in my personal life.
The laughter we shared that night will never be forgotten, and I'm sure the sore bums from hitting the deck will never be forgotten either. It was an amazing night and an even more amazing week.
But we believe also if somebody has a dream and if they have the online opportunity, it's possible also to work from home. And from rural area as well.
You are listening to Rural Voices, the Rural Youth Europe podcast.
Okay, so work as a social right. This was something that we were meant to be discussing at the rally in detail and was instead addressed in our recent webinar hosted by the Slovenian team. And I'll be speaking to the rally chair, Anja, about that in a bit. But firstly, just to have a bit of background to the topic. According to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, everyone has the right to work, the free choice of employment, and to protection against unemployment. Now, according to the European Commission, although youth unemployment has actually decreased from 24% of young people in 2013 to 15% in 2019, the youth unemployment rate is still pretty high across the EU. Those of us living in rural areas know that rural youth are no exception to this. We are all aware of the brain drain of young people moving to cities because there aren't the job opportunities in rural areas. There may be little opportunities for people to get into agriculture, work in tourism is often seasonal, and the lack of infrastructure may make it harder for a young person to find work. Obviously, chucking a global pandemic and it hardly helps the situation. However, from what I learned from the webinar is that it is certainly not all doom and gloom. As well as the obvious challenges that we have in rural areas, there are so many opportunities, some of which having arisen from the pandemic itself, and we'll be discussing that a bit later in the episode. This is such a perfect topic to be discussed at the rally, and I can only imagine the kind of discussions that will occur at the postponed event in 2021. But before I talk to Anja about her plans and a bit more about the topic, let's hear from a couple past participants about their experiences with previous rallies. Kicking things off, we have my mate Jane from Team England.
So many great things to say about the RYE European Rally. From Latvia 2017, for those in the know, it might be that we learnt the in-depth history of the Battenberg, experienced the deep rivalry of the English versus Welsh Barrow Brith, or learning just how many dishes could be seasoned with dill. Food aside, getting to spend the week with other young adults who come from across Europe provides endless opportunities to chat and learn about their lives, culture, policies, and take from each person an idea of how to improve your own rural area. The rally allows you to appreciate travel, friendly connections, and your own country, highlighting the opportunities it provides for both you and other rural youth from across Europe.
Hi everyone, it's Madre from Latvian 4-H. I have three things to say. First thing, that in every rally you can meet the most amazing and inspiring people, and I think I have met the best and the legendariest part of them, and I can call them friends. The second thing is that I have improved my English so well that I can catch the meaning what Irish people or Scottish people saying when they're speaking English. And the third thing is, if you are in the bus full of rally participants and the bus got stuck in a sandy parking lot, you won't have to stay there for a whole night because the rally participants will make it as a real team building game and dig and push the bus out of the sand and make it as the most memorable moment from Paul Rally and the reference to Rally 2017 in Latvia. Greetings to all of you. Thanks for having me here and take care.
Thank you, Madara, for that. I was there in Latvia in 2017, and everyone trying to push that bus out of the sand is something I am not going to forget. We have many more of those memories still to come later in the episode. Okay, so let's have that interview with Anya Fortuna. She is the rally chair for what will now be the 2021 rally. Hello, Anya, and thank you for joining me here on Rural Voices.
Hi, Dan, and hi, all rural people listening to this podcast.
Now, it is a bit bittersweet talking to you over Zoom because I would love to be talking to you in Slovenia, but obviously the rally has had to be cancelled. What were your grand plans for this year's rally?
Yeah, it's a bit sad that we were not able to have rally this year, but still we're planning on having it next year. We had a lot of different plans. The whole topic evolved around rural competences and business. We wanted to put forward basically this idea that rural people already have a lot of competences. They already have a lot to give. They're super motivated. They have a lot of knowledge, skills, and different abilities. And we just wanted to show them that they can create their own, job in their areas without having to move to urban areas or to more populated areas.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a great topic to be discussing because it's something that all our membership organisations are working on all the time. As a member of a rural youth organisation, you are highly likely to be volunteering and developing those competencies that you're talking about.
Yeah, no one really imagines what can you learn just by being active in a different organisation. Even the fact that, you know, when you are part of organisations, the first key thing is group work and communication. These are two of the most important competencies to have when you enter the labor market. So just being able to organize activities, so organizational skills. And then when you're very active, you're working, so either you're going to school or you already work at your farm or somewhere else, and then you have your volunteer activities. And this is like one of the most important thing is time management. So another very relevant competence to have in labor market. So all these things you gather through non-formal education, through youth work, so through being involved in different organizations. And it's something that the formal educational system doesn't give to us.
Yes. And in the last episode, we were talking about the benefits of non-formal learning. And I guess that's what the rally is all about, you know, learning at your own pace, with your own expectations, and in some cases, own methods of learning. The rally, you know, is a prime example of non-formal education that tries to develop those competencies.
Yeah, exactly. And rallies are very important for personal development. No one would imagine before going there, before experiencing, how much you can learn by meeting other people, by talking to them, also by playing games, because non-formal education also includes some ice-breaking games, some get-to-know-each-other games. And this brings you a lot of new knowledge, skills, and ideas. And I do remember myself at my first rally, more than 7 years ago, I was not able to speak publicly in English, in a foreign language. And being at the rally, it gave me, I was a bit pushed. So you need someone that pushes you out of your comfort zone. But if I wouldn't attend a rally, if I wouldn't experience this, I probably wouldn't be where I am right now in my career and also in my personal life.
Oh, absolutely. And I could totally relate to that. All my confidence and my ability to public speak is totally down to my experiences with young farmers. I definitely, you know, wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for that. But going back to young people trying to get into the workplace, in a very practical sense, when you're writing a CV for a job, quite often you're saying things like, I'm very organised, I'm a great team player, I'm good at time management, and it's very easy to say those things. But actually, when you've done stuff in your rural youth organisation, you're very likely to be able to provide evidence of those competencies.
Yeah, exactly. I think that by years, non-formal education and youth work as it is getting more and more recognized. I think that some employees, the ones that are really looking for high qualified workers and people that are kind of able to work with them, they see that if they're involved in different activities and that they do something more than just the must, because usually we would say the formal education is a must. The degree to get a certain job is kind of a requirement. And then that people see that you're so motivated that you want to give your time without basically receiving any money or any other motivation, that also says something about you, that you can go beyond just what is the must.
Yeah, exactly. And an example of specifically you and the Slovenian team going beyond this year, in, you know, the COVID era, rally was cancelled, so you held an online webinar as an alternative.
Well, it's not an alternative to the rally, it's just an add to the rally, something to keep our brains active and our memory to rally active, and also to give like a base for the next year's topic. And we had three amazing speakers, very strong rural females that presented their ways of how they created their own jobs in rural areas. And we also presented a bit of a background of what the topic itself means and why we decided on this topic. And then we went straight into working on what are the opportunities, what are the barriers, what young people need in rural areas so they can develop themselves career-wise.
And what specifically were some of those challenges? What were the most common problems that were coming up in the discussions that were stopping young people from finding jobs in rural areas?
Yeah, the biggest challenge is bad infrastructure, access to internet, and also this distance from main activities, distance to urban areas where you have access to, I don't know, other partners. There's more people that can be your buyers, etc. So mainly this issue of just being away from the main places where things happen.
Yeah, and I guess that comes with the nature of where we live. We're just, you know, we're a lot more isolated to those living in urban areas. What do you think are some of the solutions to this problem?
Well, I would say that, and this was also brought up during the webinar, as the COVID period gave us a lot of opportunities with digital tools. So if we try to focus more on digital skills, digital competences, and then if we add that infrastructure and we combine that and create a job where you do not have to be physically present in an urban area to have a high quality job, that's a solution for rural areas.
And yeah, I guess a main priority then for, you know, for us to tap into that opportunity is to make sure rural areas have enough broadband, because, you know, it's certainly an issue around where I live.
Yeah, exactly. Infrastructure is the key to just develop any area.
Well, I think it was really great that you were able to discuss all of this in the webinar. And obviously, it will be investigated in a lot more detail in next year's rally. Now, we know what the topic is, but I was just wondering, to finish things off, if you could give me, you know, a cheeky exclusive, a bit of a taster of what else to expect at the rally. Any, you know, any info on entertainment, etc.?
Well, I do not want to give any secrets away, but no, we planned a lot of interesting activities already in the evening. We also plan on having host families, so you will be able to spend a night with a Slovenian family. You will be able to discover what is happening in Slovenia. And just to sum up, we have a team that calls themselves the team for luxury. So there's a team that works only on how to zhuzh up everything that is happening at the rally. So I think it's going to be an interesting event, and they are really keen on adding just the cherry on top of the cake that is called rally.
A whole team just to zhuzh, love that.
A whole team just for that.
Oh, well, I think that's absolutely amazing. And on that note, I just want to thank you for speaking to me. It's been great to, you know, delve a bit more into the topic of work and hear about your plans for the rally. I cannot wait for next year. just try and stop me from being there, podcast or no podcast. I want to be there. It will be amazing.
Thank you for having me, Dan. And I really look forward to seeing every one of you in Slovenia next year.
Thank you, Anya. It was really great to catch up with her. I really feel for the Slovenian team because I know how much hard work goes into the rally. So it must have been gutting not being able to hold it this year, but it's great to hear them being so positive, and we all know that the 2021 rally is going to be bigger and better than ever. And staying on the rally theme, here are some more rally memories from three Rural Youth Europe alumni.
Thanks, Dan. So hi, guys. My name is Isa and I'm from Finland and I'm a member of 4-H Finland. One of my favorite memories from the 2018 rally in Scotland was when we actually won the lip sync battle with the song Hard Rock Hallelujah. And I think we only practiced it maybe once or twice before going on the stage. But I can remember that it was so much fun and our team was amazing, even though I felt like I had no idea what to do there. But yeah, that's just one of many great memories from that rally. And thanks for the chance to share this with you guys.
Hi, my name's Inghara Llewellyn. I am a former Hermon YFC member based within Pembrokeshire, and I was chosen to represent Wales YFC at the 2017 European Rally in Latvia. Hands down, the best YFC exchange I've ever been on. I've been on a handful beforehand, but this was in a league of its own. How can I pick just one fantastic memory? Because we had so many amazing workshops, local visits to farms, we had great conversations, and above all, the people I met and the friends I made, the friendships for life. That is all I can say. However, I thoroughly enjoyed the international buffet evening. Everybody brought produce, drink, food from their home countries, and we got to sample everything. That was a very special evening for me and one I will remember forever.
Hello, my European friends. My name is Klaas Wilken from Northern Germany, and I was sent to the rallies 2018 and 19 in Scotland and England by the German head organization Bund der Deutschen Landjugend, which is a mixture of youth club and young farmers club. Dan asked me to share my favorite memories with you, so let's get started. The rally totally meets our motto, breaking boundaries, building bridges, which is even more relevant in times of populism and nationalism. In my opinion, it's all about intercultural exchange. I made so many new friends and I had so many interesting conversations about topics that didn't meet the session's topic at first sight, but helped me to have a much better understanding of cultural diversity within Europe. Please help to overcome the corona pandemic by keeping sufficient distance and wear a face mask so that the next rally can take place anytime soon. Stay healthy and don't forget to apply.
Yes, Klaas, thank you for that. This is turning into quite the advert for the rally, isn't it? It is so nice to reminisce and remember about previous rallies, and we will be hearing some more rally memories at the end of the episode. But now we have another interview, and I was really excited to be able to sit down with Rita from a Hungarian rural youth organisation, which isn't part of our rural youth network, so it was great to learn about what they get up to, specifically in encouraging young people to volunteer and find employment in rural Hungary. Well, thank you, Rita, for coming onto the podcast and giving up your time to speak to me. To start things off, could you just tell us a little bit about what your organisation is all about?
Yeah, so I am representing Fekete Sereg Youth Association. This is an association we already started to work with young people in the rural area in 1997. So does it mean 22 years ago, 23 years ago? And the goal is to supporting their bottom up. So if they have some good idea, we would like to support them. We have a small center. We call it its youth center, but it's a room. It's not too big. And the local young people, they can come to our center. And we are, so this is our local youth work. And we are also working in international level. We are hosting European Voluntary Service in 2006 in Hungary. for 1 year, 1 month, individually, and also we are hosting them in group. Our main focus is supporting young people also in volunteering opportunity. The young people who are living in a rural area, not just in Nagyvázsony, in our village, which is 1,800 people we have, but also the young people who are living in other part of Hungary, because we have a quite big network, Hungarian Youth Work Network, who are working with young people in rural area, and we are working in it, and we can make a call proposal, and we can supporting our youngsters. And about unemployment, we believe a lot in volunteering. Thanks to volunteering, they can get some experience, volunteer-based experience, they can use it in their future work.
Yeah, so you just mentioned employment. Youth unemployment is becoming quite a big problem in countries across Europe.
Yeah.
Is this a problem that you're seeing specifically in rural Hungary?
Yeah, we have also this problem with our youngsters, but we can say in our area, we are living in the west part of Hungary, we are not that big problem. We don't have that big problem because we are not so far. We have just 200 kilometers with Austrian border. And we have a lot of Hungarian young people who are going to work in Austria because their salary is more better in Austria than in Hungary for the same work. And but the east part of Hungary, it's much more difficult for our youngsters. But still, we have some unemployed in our region, but not that much.
So if I was a young person living in your part of rural Hungary, what opportunities are there? What kind of jobs could I be looking into?
In the Hungarian rural area, one of the biggest possibility to work is working for the municipality, the local one, so it's to work for the schools if you are educated to be a teacher or kindergarten, or we have also in some places in the agricultural work to do, and our area, it's a vineyard area, so we have some working with vine or seasonal work also from mm-hmm. spring to autumn. And we have also some big enterprise in the closest towns, 20 kilometers far from here, and most of the people, they are going to work in this in different towns, so not really in our village. Yeah, so it's not easy to find a job local level, but we believe also if somebody has a dream and if they have the online opportunity, and for example, they would like to be a webmaster or something working with online, I don't know, social media or something like this, it's possible also to work from home and from rural area as well.
Yes, and I think those opportunities online for rural people is obviously a big one and a common theme of what I'm hearing. At the start, you mentioned that you support bottom-up initiatives. Could you give me an example?
We have a very good example, one of our local Roma boy. He was our volunteer for, 6-7 years, so long time together. And after that, we suggest him to go for a short-term volunteering to Finland. He spent 6 weeks in Finland without speaking any languages. He started to motivate him to learn English. And after this experience, we get support from the European Union. This is the youth guarantee program for young people in European level. They can get some support for their salary for 6 months or maximum 1 year. And he get it, and we were asked this support. And after that, he decided he would like to make a long-term volunteering. He spent 1 year or 11 months in Palermo in Italy. He learned English in Italy. And after that, he was able to speak different languages, and he already finished his study. He started to work in Netherlands, for example, and after that, he's coming back to Hungary. Now, at the moment, he has a quite good job in Hungary. So, thanks to volunteering, he was able to speak another language, and thanks to speak language, he was able to work out of Hungary. He was able to earn a little bit money, and he's coming back, and he is working in the in the construction business sector, and his employees that he like his job, and he's happy because thanks to his experience that he get it, thanks to volunteering, he get a good job.
Yeah, and I think that is just a prime example of how the volunteering that you do for your organisation can help you get a job. Now, for young people that are listening to this who may be struggling to get into work, what do you think are those main competencies, those main skills that they need to help them find work?
I think the key, it's from my side, they are not usually agree with my colleagues, it's not the language knowledge. The most important is the motivation. If somebody is motivated to learn something, they will learn also languages. If they are not motivated to work and to be open-minded for a new possibility, it will be hard to push them. So our mission is, if we have some motivated young people, we would like to show them which kind of possibility we have, and after they can decide it in which way they would like to go. And we would like to support them like a wind from the back, because we have also a network in our European, with our European colleagues, Rückenwind network. This is a German expression. Rückenwind does it wind from the back. And we would like to support them like wind from the back, so we can show them some way, but it's the young people who will decide which way they would like to go.
Absolutely. And I think that's a nice point to wrap up on. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. Sounds like you're doing lots of great work, and I hope our two organisations can continue to share ideas and work together in the future.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity. Thank you very much.
It was great to hear from Rita there, and that just supports the idea that, you know, the volunteering that you do in your organisation is providing you with the skills that are valuable in the workplace. Right, we have just got a little bit of time left to squeeze in a few more rally memories, and next we are heading to Scotland.
Hi everyone, my name is Abby Forsyth, and I am a member of Stewartry Young Farmers, which is a club within the Scottish Association of Young Farmers Clubs. I attended the 2019 rally held in Cirencester, England at the Royal Agricultural University. It really is hard to choose just one memory from this amazing week, but something that will always stand out will be the night that everyone participated in Strip the Willow. Now, for those of you that don't know, this is a traditional Scottish dance where you basically get spun round in a circle several times and end up very dizzy. It is great fun, and it was so great to see everyone so keen to get involved and learn the dance too. This night highlighted how passionate everyone was to learn about each other's cultures throughout the week. The laughter we shared that night will never be forgotten, and I'm sure the sore bums from hitting the deck will never be forgotten either. It was an amazing night and an even more amazing week.
Hi, my name is Axel Nicholson. I'm from the Swedish team and organisation 4H. My first year in the European Rally was 2019. When we were in Gloucester, and the thing that I loved about the European Rally was that there everything from the actual conversation about the theme. My theme when I went was mental health, which I was super important, but also the fact that when we were done with our seminar, you could just get down by the night and just discuss that, but also everyday life, and just connect with so many different people, and also the events that happened during the whole week. It was crazy good. Everything from different sort of games to Morris dancers to karaoke. It was just unreservedly one of the best things that ever happened.
Hey, Shane Quigley here from Mochrane Afirma in Ireland. I've been lucky enough to be at two rallies. So I was last year in England in Cirencester, and I was also in 2017 on the Mocker team at the Latvia rally. I think it means I have loads of great memories, but my favourite would be from 2017 in Latvia, and the night that we all went to the beach to watch the sunset over the Baltic Sea, and Also, when the sun went down, we all gathered around in a big circle and learned how to play the bongo drums, which was really cool in the forest. And another bonus fact on that night too, the buses, one of the buses got stuck when we were leaving, so everybody had to get off and push the bus, which was very funny.
Shane from Ireland there, finishing off our rally memories. That bus clearly made a very big impression. Well, I've loved receiving those messages about the rally. Thank you to everyone that's got involved, and I'm sure I'm speaking on behalf of everyone listening when I say that I cannot wait for us to get back to normal next year and get stuck in with the topic of work and enjoy everything that the rally brings. Talking about the topic of work, next episode we are continuing the discussion but focusing on the opportunities for women to get into agriculture and work in rural areas. So it's an episode not to be missed, so make sure you have subscribed and follow the podcast, as well as keeping up to date with all the Rural Youth Europe social media.
You are listening to Rural Voices, the Rural Youth Europe podcast.